What is going on, everybody? We are back for another episode of the Varsity Breakdown Podcast. I am Daniel Guevara. As always, alongside me is Mr. Lupe Ramirez. And it's been a little bit of a long time coming for us as far as the break we had to take over the last, the last couple months?
Yeah, it was a couple months.
With that being said, we are back, trying to get back into the swing of things for the remainder of the spring season, baseball and softball. We're going to be talking today as well as kind of the course of what the summer will take us into football season next year. I know we have a lot of things to kind of grow through, catch up on, and see how this season will shape out for our teams in baseball and softball and what to expect from us kind of going forward.
Yeah, it was a long time away, and I know and you know that in this time that we've been away from everybody, the only thing – well, not the only thing, but one of the main things that we would keep talking about is, man, don't you miss it? Like, don't you miss going out there to these games? Don't you miss, you know, seeing these athletes perform and then getting to meet their parents and the whole ordeal? And – it sucked, but there was a lot of good that came out of our time away. Like, my son had multiple surgeries, but, you know, thank God he's okay. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, while he was still in the hospital, my mom ended up getting a kidney transplant. So shout out to my mom. She's doing well.
There.
Yeah, all good things. But it was just really tough, you know, spending time away, going to the hospital and going back and forth, but having family and friends come and support us. Like, you actually came out to Phoenix Children's Hospital to see Emiliano. He got to snatch your sunglasses and
yeah,
and
brought
you got
him
to
some
visit
bubbles
with him. Yeah, brought him some bubbles, and he still has those bubbles. And it was tough to be away. I'm glad to be back, and I felt like it was perfect to go back to the first game I went to, which was the Coolidge Bears and the Santan Foothills Sabercats, and that was in Santan Foothills. And from the beginning, it was very competitive. I didn't expect that the Bears would come out so hot the way they did, but they drew first blood in the first inning, and they kind of never looked back after that. But at the same time, the Sabercats looked so, so young. There was a lot of new faces out there, some familiar faces, one in particular, Cohen Scott, who actually committed to Augsburg University and will be a member of the Aggies next baseball season. And I told him congratulations that Minnesota's getting a real one, and I know that he's excited to take that next step. His living situation is already taken care of. It's looking bright for the young Sabercat. I'm looking forward to seeing what he does after graduation and being there to talk to Coach Rico, getting to actually be in the dugout again and take those photos, seeing the interactions between the players. It was great. I know that after the game, I got to talk to Cohen's mom, and Mrs. Scott was, you know, she was like, you know, I'm sorry you had to come and see this game, but I'm pretty sure you feel pretty good about it. And I was like, no, I came here to be completely objective, but I got to give a shout out to Twin Coach Ricky for seeing me out on the outside of the fence and saying, hey, why don't you come inside the dugout and take some photos. And going in there,
don't get that very often.
No, you don't get that very often. And going in there and actually getting to get better photos and just experience that again, it was really cathartic to be there. And like I said, just experience it again, because like I said, I missed so much of it, bro.
No, same here. You know, as far as me, you know, I haven't been able to take the trips down to Pinal County to check out a couple of games. I think the only one I really got to interact with was the alumni game, which that was going to kind of be our focus before we abruptly had to take a hold. You know, I was dealing kind of similar issues as you with my grandmother. You know, all things are going in a positive direction for her, so that's always good. But I'm the same way. I've missed out on so much that we're kind of playing catch up now to see how the season is for these teams. And what's crazy is the top 24 teams get to make it into a play-in. You know, it'll be we'll kind of get into more details about it, but top 24 teams get to make it, and some of our teams are on the brink of possibly having a playoff appearance to play in divisional tournaments. So we'll be keeping our eyes on that. But before we kind of dive into baseball and softball, let's talk about that alumni game. How were things with that? You know, we got to set up a broadcast courtesy of Coach Aaron Monteverdi, who helped us out and allowed us to actually engage more into the game.
Yeah, and happy belated birthday to Aaron. And I know that he's hearing this and he's like, well, why didn't he just text me? Aaron, I'm sorry. I know that you probably had so many other texts and you're doing so many other things, but happy birthday, brother. But
23?
Yeah, we'll say that. But, yeah, being at that game was awesome. Having Aaron there and then running into former players like Mike Villa, who's now at Basha, and even Chief from last year, he came through. Mm-hmm. And I told them both, I was like, isn't it funny that you came from Basha and now you just went to Basha? I was like, I think that's funny.
And they were teammates at one time.
And the fact that they were still, I mean, Bears are Bears. They're still going to coexist, apparently. But they were able to mix and mingle and chop it up and actually take part in the broadcast. They were actually being producers behind the scenes. I know mm-hmm. Mike didn't want to do a whole lot of talking. And when he did, he made it work. So, and he did a lot of good work on the camera. So we got to give him shouts out on that. But I know when I was originally intending to call the game with you, mm-hmm. but then Coach Rico had came up and asked, hey, I need one of you guys to possibly be an ump. And I was like, I'll do it.
Yep.
And it was so fun to be out there to actually be a part of the game more than just fielding and hitting, because I actually didn't get to bat. I did get to play third base, and that was fun in itself, but I did feel it the next day because I'm not very active.
Same here, bro. Like, you know, I felt the kind of shape that I was in, and, you know, being when you graduate, you're 170, and, you know, I ain't going to say my weight on this podcast, but, you know, being a little bit heftier is kind of takes its toll. But I think for me, I still played the same way as I did in high school, trying to lay down bunts and be that quick guy on the field. I know
situational baseball.
And I know the alumni guys, they were talking to me about that. You know, it's like, dude, you play exactly the same as you did, you know, 10 plus years ago. So it just overall felt good. It was a good environment to be around. And unfortunately, you know, the Bears were able to get the best of the alumni rallying in the ninth inning. We played a total of 9 innings, and being able to come back, especially when Coach Rico takes the mound. And I'm sorry to say, he blew the save for the alumni this year. But overall, I think the things that Coach Rico and his staff did to put that event together, as well as having the different vendors come out and support. And overall, you don't see a lot of fans usually at baseball and softball games outside of family and close friends. So for the stands to kind of be packed and everybody's rooting for each other, and having, you know, even old parents from some of the alumni players show up, that was a big thing. You know, one of my coaches since Little League, H.R. Paddock, being able to sit down and chit-chat with him for a little bit was kind of nice. But I think one of the best things that we received from Coach Rico was a couple of our original jerseys when we played back in 2009, and he presented those to us to kind of give and add to our wall here at the Gavada compound. I know you got yours at the Titan Tower. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think the alumni game is something that is going to be a staple for Coolidge baseball, and hopefully maybe eventually we'll see it kind of escalate into softball, where we'll see some former softball players take the field possibly next year.
Yeah, it was cool to be out there, and I don't feel like we learned them kids anything because they ended up coming back to beat us, but the experience in itself was fulfilling. Like, being out there, it was like coming full circle, because we're not giving back, because if anything, we're kind of taking from these kids. We want to see what they can give. And mm-hmm. and at the end, I feel like every player who spoke to these kids actually said what they were feeling, and they didn't hold back. Mm-hmm. they knew that these kids had potential, and they spoke that to them. And then looking at the Bears right now, at their record, it's going to be really good for them to hopefully get into this playoff picture. Like you mentioned, there's 24 teams that are available. We'll get into the rankings and where they are at later. But nonetheless, I got to say thanks to Coach Rico. It was an awesome event to be at. I can't wait to be there next year. The only thing that I have to ask myself is, am I going to wear the jersey that he gave me? Am I going to wear the jersey that I'm buying? The jersey that we're buying,
yep,
that are going to be Coolidge-based. Am I going to wear the Varsity Breakdown jersey again? Or am I going to wear my original jersey from baseball that I actually took, that I told him that I was going to give back, but I never gave back?
Well, either way it goes, you know, awesome event. But let's go into a little bit about baseball and softball this year. And we'll start where the teams kind of sit at right now. We're going to go into the standings. I'll give their AIA record as far as standings, and I know you have written down the overall standings. That includes tournament play as well.
Yes, sir.
So let's start out in the two-way division, where we have Santa Cruz Valley and Sequoia Pathway in the two-way south. Santa Cruz Valley is currently second in the region, 3-1 overall in the region, and an overall of 5-4 for the regular season. Where does their overall record sit?
Their overall record, according to Max Prep, sits at 8-7. And like you said, they are 3-1 in region play. So very good for the Dust Devils. They actually have a game tonight against Horizon Honors. So wishing them good luck on that.
Going to be a tough one.
Yeah, definitely going to be a tough one.
And then you got Sequoia Pathway, whose in-season record is 0-10 and sit in last in the region at 0-5. Overall record for them, I think, stays the same right there, right?
Yeah, it stays the same. They do not have any tournament games. But looking at the numbers, this is a team that has been outscored by 190 points. Their opponents have scored 196 to their 6 runs put up. Not an easy way to have a season, but this is a game of numbers, and if you want to win, you got to put them up.
Oh, no, without a doubt. And, you know, we know with Sequoia Pathway, that is a rebuilding program. So we'll see what they can do the rest of the season. But let's jump into the 3A, and we'll be in the 3A South Central. So confusing to stay up with the changes as far as division or regions go in every region, depending on what sport you play. So 3A, we know football is the 3A Central. Come baseball and softball, you got the 3A South Central. So we'll talk about ALA Ironwood, who is currently in third, tied with Florence at 1-1 in the region, 5-5 in in-season play. What's that overall record look like?
Overall, the Warriors are 7-6 with tournament play. And like you said, they have had a really strong showing this year. You can't really see that by the numbers, but ALA, where they're standing, looks to be okay come playoff time.
And tied with them in third is the Florence Gophers at 1-1 in the region, but 8-2 overall, one of the better records when it comes to Pinal County teams. Overall, where do they sit?
Overall, including all of their tournament play, they are 14-2 and are currently in a battle with the Gilbert Christian Knights.
And that's going to be a big game because Gilbert Christian, who is 9-2 in in-season play, is also 2-0 overall in region, just one game behind Valley Christian. But as we move down the order, you have Santan Foothills, who sits in sixth with a 1-3 region record and 3-6 in in-season play. How does that overall record look?
Overall, the Sabercats are 6-8 and have a game today against the Ben Franklin Chargers.
And then to wrap it up here in the 3A South Central, you have the Coolidge Bears, who have only had one region matchup, which they lost to Gilbert Christian. And it was a good battle from what we've seen as far as the score goes. We know how tough Gilbert Christian is.
Well, actually, I think those numbers need to be updated because they did snatch a victory over Santan Foothills. And the numbers, as I have them written down, is them having a 1-2 record in the region.
Okay, so yeah, so we're going off of the AIA when it comes to the regular season. You're giving the overall records, but they sit at 4-4 as far as their in-season play. What about that overall record?
Overall, they are 7-8 and have a game today at Globe against the Tigers.
So that'll be a good game, as that's another region opponent. And with Coolidge, that seventh win that they got on the season, I believe they're creeping up to their overall of 12 wins from last season, which they're trying to break. And it's one of the teams that could be on the cusp of possibly making it to the playoffs. We'll see how the rest of the season plays out for all those teams in 3A. But before we jump into 4A, remember, ALA Anthem South does not have a season for the boys. So they were supposed to be here in that 3A South Central. But just, I'm going to guess, is due to participation and the amount of kids that came out this year. They didn't have enough kids to fill the team, so they forego the 2024 season. But we'll see if they come back next year with a fully loaded team. But going into, we'll start off with the 4A Black Canyon region, where you have Vista Grande currently sitting at the top, 4-0 in the region, 7-4 in season play. The overall record for them.
Overall, the Spartans are 8-9. And today, when I pulled up the score, the first initial thought I had was, why did you do it to them? They beat the Coronado Dons today 21-1. That is a huge win for the Spartans and Coach Harley Grick.
And to continue down, sitting at number two, you have the Apache Junction Prospectors, who are 3-0 in the region. 4-7 overall for their record. What does their overall record look like?
Including tournament play, they are 5-10-1. And today have a game against the Dysart Demons.
And so it's been a big turnaround for Apache Junction. As you look, most of their wins came from region play this year. But at the same time, they're a team that I know is looking to improve. And this is how you show it, by defeating teams in your region.
Definitely.
And we'll keep going with the 4A East Sky, where we have the Poston Butte Broncos, who currently sit in fourth with a 2-2 region record, 8-4 overall. And with the tournaments included, what does their record look like?
Tournaments included, they are at double-digit wins at 14-6.
And those are, and Poston Butte is going to be one of the top teams coming out of Pinal County this year, probably next to the Florence Gophers. So we're hoping that they can continue this momentum and get seated pretty high for this play-in, and possibly maybe even earning a bye if they can move up far enough.
Yeah, and you spoke of them being an elite team. Today they took down the ALA Queen Creek Patriots 8-2.
So keep it going, Broncos. And we're going to move into our last two teams. You have the Combs Coyotes, who have been struggling lately. They sit at 0-5 in region play, 2-9 overall in regular season. Any tournament games for them this year?
A few. If you include their tournament games, they are actually 3-12.
It's been a bit of a struggle for the Coyotes when it comes to baseball, but they definitely do play in one of the tougher regions with Arizona College Prep, LA, Gilbert North, and Eastmark, and of course, Poston Butte. And then our last team, which is Desert Sunrise, they're kind of like ALA Anthem South. They are not participating this year in baseball, so they don't have any record to speak of this year. But we'll keep things going, and we'll move on into the 5A, where we have our only team, which is the Casa Grande Cougars, as they are in the 5A Santan region. And they are currently in last place with an 0-3 region record and 2-8 overall in the regular season.
Including their tournaments, they are 3-10-1. Not the same Casa Grande Cougars team that we're used to speaking of in the spring. They are missing a very fundamental piece by the name of Elterna Gant, who actually transferred to Vista Grande. And it makes sense of why Vista is having so much success when they have an upper hand with one of Casa Grande's best players.
Yeah, and we'll get into that, especially when it comes to our focus with football. But hoping Casa Grande can come out strong near the end of the season. But let's move into our 6A, where we have the 6A West Valley and the Maricopa Rams sitting at number one in the West Valley at 3-0 in the region 9-1 in the regular season.
Including tournament play, this Rams team is 13-6. They just defeated the West Point Dragons a little while ago with the score of 3-1. So still a very good Rams baseball team. We saw this last year. We anticipated very good play from both teams, speaking of baseball and softball. And I feel like the Rams are definitely one of those teams that people are fearing when they see their names on the schedule.
Definitely holding suit. Definitely holding suit. And we'll move in. They're definitely holding suit, and I wish them nothing but the best for the end of the season. But let's kind of dive into the rankings for the baseball teams here. As we know, every Tuesday, the rankings get released for AIA, so we're constantly updating those every single week. But let's dive into our 2A teams, where we have Santa Cruz Valley at number 18, and Sequoia Pathway, unfortunately, is sitting at number 39 out of the 39 teams in 2A. But for Santa Cruz Valley sitting at 18, remember, the top 24 teams make the playoffs. 9 through 24 will play each other in a playoff game where the winner will advance to the 2A playoffs, or, you know, 2A through 6A playoffs. So just always keep that in mind when we're putting out these rankings. It's not like football where it's top 16.
The magic number is 24.
Kind of think of it like basketball, where you have that little play-in at the end to see who is going to be those top 16. So for who's going to be those top 16 teams. And right now, Santa Cruz Valley is sitting in a good position to possibly have an opportunity to get into that top 16. So as we move into the 3A, you have the Florence Gophers sitting at number 5. The Coolidge Bears sitting at 20. ALA Ironwood not far behind them at 21. And Santan Foothills at 27. So maybe Santan Foothills can make a little bit of a run there to get into that top 24. But when it comes to the 3A, we have possibly three teams making the playoffs if they ended today.
And that would be exciting, especially for a team like the Coolidge Bears. They haven't been to the playoffs in baseball in a very long time. And I know for teams like Florence, they've been there before, but they're always striving to do better and always chasing that championship. Hoisting those tournament trophies are good, but hoisting a state tournament banner will be so much sweeter.
Absolutely. And let's continue on into the 4A, where, you know, as far as power rankings go, things are always, you know, up in the air as far as strength of schedule goes and who you're playing. But we'll move into our top teams, which is all the way down at 22, Vista Grande, who's at 22, Poston Butte right behind them at 23, Apache Junction at 38, and the Combs Coyotes at 42. So as it looks like right now, our teams looking to battle to make it into the playoffs are going to be Vista Grande and Poston Butte. Any surprise there for you as far as you see those two teams, especially for how well we thought Poston Butte was doing this year?
It's very surprising to see Poston Butte behind Vista Grande. But at the same time, if you look across that rankings, when you scroll up, there are so many good teams ahead of them. Are those teams beatable? Yes, I think that that's what these teams are preparing for when they round out their season, because there's only a couple more weeks left until we get into playoff baseball and softball. So I think that Poston Butte and Vista Grande can definitely make it into the playoffs. What I would look forward to is if these two teams could possibly meet.
We'll see. You know, I think the way it ranks out is 9 will play 24, you know, 10 will play 23, and so on. But we'll see how high both teams go in these last couple of weeks. But let's move on into the 5A, where we have Casa Grande, who's going to have a tremendous change in their season if they're going to want to have a chance at the play-in. They currently sit at 31. Do you think it's possible this year that Casa Grande can make that push?
It's possible, but it's going to cost this team a little bit more skin. They've lost a lot of games this year, more games than they're used to losing. but they have to find it within themselves to realize that this is a team game. They did lose a big major piece, but they can be a cohesive unit and get these games taken care of. They could possibly sneak in at a 24. You'd never know, but it's about how – it's about the mentality that they finish with.
And last but not least, in the 6A, the Maricopa Rams, even though their record speaks volumes, only a couple losses this year, they're all the way down at 17. Do you think that's because of the region they play, or, you know, are they – one of those teams that kind of have to prove themselves in order to be a little bit higher?
I don't like that narrative that they have to prove themselves, because I feel like it's kind of like they get this bad shadow because, of course, you look at their football team and then you think about how that correlates to the rest of their sports. Their football team kind of struggles. They are improving. But I feel like Maricopa has earned that respect where they deserve to be within the top 15 of the 6A. They are a very good, fundamentally sound baseball team, and they need a little bit more respect on their name. And I think that they have earned, like I said, they have earned it well enough to be there, both baseball and softball teams.
Well, maybe we'll take a little dive into who they've played and see how those games have impacted their overall rankings. But that's how things kind of look on the baseball end. You know, you got some teams right there on the cusp that probably need a win out in order to have that opportunity at a play-in. You're looking at the Florence Gophers as a team that's possibly going to earn a first-round bye. Mm-hmm. And we'll see who they possibly get matched up with. But either way it goes, you know, we wish nothing but the best for the last bit of games that are left for all of our teams, and hopefully – there's some of them that can make a push, and we'll have a good set amount of teams here in the Arizona playoffs, 2A through 6A. But let's kind of continue things going and move into softball, where, of course, we'll start in the 2A South with the Santa Cruz Valley Dust Devils, who are 1-1 in region play, 5-3 overall in the regular season, where their only loss is coming to the number one team in the 2A South. That's the Horizon Honors Eagles. What does it look like overall for the Dust Devils?
Overall, the Dust Devils sit at 8-4, including tournament play. And today, they have a game against Sequoia Pathways. So another chance for them to get another region win and pad their stats against a team that is struggling in the season.
And we'll dive right into Sequoia Pathway, 0-3 in region play, 2-4 overall record. I don't believe they've had any tournament games this year.
No, sir.
But the more positive thing for Sequoia Pathway is they've picked up a couple of wins this year, and we know over the past couple of seasons that has come at a minimum for the Pumas.
Yeah, they have turned things around a little bit, and enough for them to scrape away with a couple of wins this season. They have the ability to maybe get a couple of more down the road, but tonight just isn't going to be that night.
And we'll move into the 3A, into the 3A South Central, where the Coolidge Bears are tied for first place with the Valley Christian Trojans at 3-0 in region play, 8-2 overall on record. What is their tournament play add to those numbers?
Tournament play included, they are 10-7 and also have a game against the Globe Tigers today.
And so outside of tournament play, the Coolidge Bears are kind of getting everything going, especially here at the latter part, where they may be able to compete for a 3A South Central region championship.
Oh, yeah, definitely a good time to be in the neighborhood.
And a team that's not far behind them in the region, you have the ALA Ironwood Warriors at 2-1 in the region, 6-6 overall in the regular season. How about tournaments as well?
Tournament games included, they are 6-7 and have a game today against Valley Christian. So going to be a tough one for the Lady Warriors.
And then we'll continue on with the Florence Gophers, who have only had one region matchup so far this season, which they lost. 6-5 overall in the regular season. Any tournament games for them?
Unfortunately, they have lost a little bit more tournament games than they would like. Their record overall, according to Max Preps, is now 6-9. And they, too, also have a game against Gilbert Christian. But I think with players like Danica and Cammy Rice, and they have Kasia Neal out there too, I think that the Lady Gophers, or should I say the ladies in red, will be okay.
And ALA Anthem South does have a softball team this year. They're 0-3 in region play behind the Florence Gophers, sit at 2-6 in the regular season. Another team that didn't have any tournament matchups, am I correct?
Yes, sir.
So we'll see how their season plays out. Still another team that has struggled in the past and now, you know, have a couple of wins under their belt. So hopefully they can add on to it before the end of the season. And to conclude the 3A South Central, you have the Santan Foothill Sabercats, who sit 0-2 in the region, which is unfortunately in last place, and 2-7 overall. Any tournaments from them?
Tournament games for the Sabercats have their record at 3-9, and hopefully they can come away with a win, but it's going to be really tough against a team like the Ben Franklin Chargers.
All right, let's continue on into the 4A Black Canyon, where you have the Vista Grande Spartans sitting at top as well, where they are 3-0 in the region, 6-5 in the regular season.
With tournament games, they have an 8-15 record. I feel like a lot of those losses are a little bit more of experience games, because you and I both know that these Vista teams go far and away to play very good competition.
Absolutely. And you'll have the Apache Junction Prospectors, who are also undefeated in the region. I don't know why they aren't sitting at top. They are actually 4-0 in region play, 7-5 overall. Did they have any tournaments throughout the season?
No, sir. I have their record at 7-5 as well.
So we'll continue on into the 4A East Sky, where you have the Combs Coyotes currently at 2-2 in the region, but unfortunately 3-6 overall on the season.
Overall, including tournament games, they are 3-10 and will look to have a very strong battle against ALA Gilbert North.
And just right behind them at 1-2 in the region is the Poston Butte Broncos, who are currently 8-3, so a good out of region record. Just hopefully they can tally up some wins here in the 4A East Sky to continue to move up in the rankings.
Including tournament games, they are 12-5. And their next game will be against ALA Queen Creek, who actually sits above them in the number two spot in the 4A East Sky region.
And just like in baseball, Desert Sunrise does not have a season this year, so no record to speak of for them. But hopefully next year we'll be able to give you some information for Desert Sunrise in both baseball and softball. But let's continue on into the 5A region with the Casa Grande Cougars, who are in the 5A Santan region, and they sit in fifth place at 0-3 in the region and an overall record of 4-5 for the regular season.
With all of their tournament games included, this is a team that is 10-10 and will have a game at home against Williamsfield tomorrow.
They are definitely a team that has played a lot of tournament games this year. Probably one of the most, I think.
Yeah, definitely. But I feel like that has helped shape this team into a different ball club. Like, we've seen the evolution of this team take shape last year, and it's only evolving into this season.
So we'll move into the 6A West Valley, where just like baseball, the Maricopa Rams are a hot team this year as they sit 2-0 in the region, which is tied for first with Tolleson and Shadow Ridge, and their overall regular season record sits at 9-1.
Well, with the 12 tournament games that they have played included, their record is 19-3. A very good softball team when you look at the Maricopa Lady Rams, and very deserving of getting more respect and going further into the playoffs.
And to wrap up our softball segment, we're going to dive into those rankings, starting with the 2A, where you have Santa Cruz Valley sitting nice at number 5, while the Sequoia Pathway Pumas are in the top 24, sitting at number 23. So they are going to definitely need to possibly win out to make that play-in tournament. while Santa Cruz Valley is looking at a first-round bye if things ended today.
Nothing new for the Lady Dust Devils. I know that they definitely have a bad taste in their mouth, having to suffer a very strong defeat at the hands of Horizon Honors. But I only hope that those two teams eventually can meet in the playoffs again, whether it be in the finals or somewhere in the semis where they can meet, because we both know that Santa Cruz is very capable of getting those wins, but they do struggle at times when another team matches their intensity.
Well, we'll see if they definitely get that matchup later on in the playoffs. But let's go on into the 3A division, where our first team sits at number 11, and that's the Coolidge Lady Bears, as we have ALA Ironwood, who sits at number 17. The Florence Gophers on the verge of possibly in making it to the play-in, as they sit at number 25. ALA Anthem South not too far behind at 32. And Santan Foothills will close things out at number 38. Any surprises there for you as far as the 3A?
Not at all, but I do think that Coolidge does deserve to be in the top 10.
Okay, well, I think for me, they struggled a little bit at the start, but they are definitely heating up, and that's what we saw coming into last year, is they made the right adjustments to get hot at the end of the season, just unfortunately ran into a tough team like Sabino, where they played them in the first round. But I think that playoff experience will definitely help the Lady Bears try to get further in the playoffs this year. But what about the Florence Gophers? Do you think they might have enough to possibly sneak in to that top 24?
They definitely do have enough to sneak in. It's just a matter of how they are able to string these last few games together. Not being able to see them this year, but thinking of how these Florence teams are able to grow and mature, I see it within this team to make it into the playoffs and maybe surprise and upset another team.
Well, let's continue on into the 4A division, where you have the Poston Butte Broncos sitting at number 16, the Vista Grande Spartans sitting at 23, the Apache Junction Prospectors at 35, the Combs Coyotes at 39, and as we said, Desert Sunrise currently unranked due to not having a season. Any surprises there for you as far as the four teams go?
I feel like maybe AJ is suffering a little bit because of the region they're in. They are the best in their region, and their record doesn't quite show that they are deserving of their low placement in these rankings, but I think that they could be a little bit higher. They should be within that chase for a playoff spot.
And I think for me, I think Poston Butte might move up a little bit before the end of the season. And the one big surprise for me is Vista Grande is getting a little bit of respect this year, and they're creeping into that playoff contention. They just have to make sure this last few weeks go as planned and possibly move up a couple rankings. You don't want to sit on that, you know, cusp of 23-24 and have to play a tough opponent, because if things ended today, they'd play a tough Saguaro Sabercats team who's currently 7-3 on the year. But either way it goes, it's good to see we have a couple of teams in the 4A division that could possibly make a run at the playoffs. We know Poston Butte, they did it last year, and I know the way things are going at Vista Grande, they're a team that is looking to be kind of like a Coolidge Bears from last year. Just let them get in and get the experience and see how far they can really go.
Yeah, they're finding that resurgence, and they could, like you said, very well be just like that Coolidge Bears team last year, where they found their spark towards the end of the season.
So let's move on into the 5A divisional rankings, where Casa Grande, despite of what happened last year, they're a team that's looking to make some noise, and they currently sit at number 18 overall. Definitely a big surprise for me, especially with the 4-5 record, but it looks like those wins are starting to pan out for them.
Definitely, and I, like you said, I know it doesn't show in their region that they would be quite deserving of that placement, but again, like you said, if you look at those wins, I'm pretty sure if you put that under a microscope, you'd see that they had beaten very quality opponents.
And last but not least is the Maricopa Rams in the 6A division. Even though they have a 9-1 regular season record, they sit at number 16. Definitely a surprise for me, but I know how tough that 6A division is. And we kind of saw this last year when it came from the Rams that even though they tallied up so many wins, it all matters about what region you get placed in and just how those games will impact your rankings.
Really tough to see their placement, but at the same time, it puts you at ease knowing that the top 24 teams will make it. It's not as slim of a margin as it was last year where they have to worry about, you know, barely making it in. They'll know they'll be in the mix. It's just a matter of pushing themselves further so they can get higher on that rankings list.
Well, that's going to kind of wrap things up as far as baseball and softball. We kind of, you know, wanted to take this episode to touch on a lot of different things, especially being our first episode coming back. But you get a little bit of glimpse of what baseball and softball kind of look like this spring season. Definitely wish all the teams the best of the luck for the remainder of the season. And I know coming into next week, we're going to kind of dive into the teams a little bit more where we can put more focus on what they've done, you know, looking at some players and looking at some stats and trying to bring attention to some of the best players coming out of Pinal County. But we also wanted to touch on some football coming into the summer. And let's start off with some of the commits so far out of Pinal County. What do you have as far as the commits? I know baseball and softball will have their moment this summer with all the kids that are committing. But any big names for you coming out of Pinal County?
Yeah, welcome to my commitment corner where we're going to talk about these players who have made that next step to play at the next level and further their education. Let's start off with James Rogers of the Maricopa Rams, who has committed to the Arizona Christian Firestorm. Congratulations, James. Now let's look at the Vista Grande Spartans, where one of these Spartans is moving on to be a Spartan again. But this time in Manchester, we got to give it up to our boy Gabe Barrera, the man in the middle for the Spartans, will be moving on and furthering his education with the Manchester Spartans. So congratulations, Gabe.
But that's not the only Spartan becoming a Spartan, right?
No. There's another Spartan becoming a Spartan again, and his name is Angel Chaydez, the defensive end for the Vista Grande Spartans, will be playing alongside his teammate in. That's got to be a good feeling for these two. You know, they've spent 4 years together playing side by side. Can you think of a better feeling than moving on to the next level and not having to go through it alone and have a partner with you who will share the same homesickness and have kind of the same feelings you do about being in a different area?
Oh, no, definitely. And then they're both on opposite sides of the ball. So you know that they're going to push each other when it comes to competing at practice and possibly trying to become a day one starter.
Yeah, and then speaking of starters and day one, we can't forget about Darius Brown IV. The wide receiver will be heading up north with a player that we're very familiar with, Mr. Belcom Namagambe. He will be taking his talents to Rocky Mountain College and will become a Battling Bear. Congratulations, Darius.
And with those two, you know it's going to be some great competition as they both are two players that love to compete. So I know that they're going to be bringing the best out of each other and definitely making each other better.
Oh, yeah. I feel like Rocky Mountain has a couple of greats from Pinal County. And then let's talk about another Pinal County resident who's going to be moving a little bit further east. And I'm talking about the Coolidge Bears' Andre Dukes. The defensive end has committed to the Western New Mexico Mustangs. So congratulations to Dukes. I know that I'm excited for him to be moving on to Western New Mexico, where he'll be playing alongside former Casa Grande Cougar Anthony Flores. Western New Mexico has a really good scouting pool here in the Pinal County area. And wrapping it up with another Coolidge Bear, got to give a really big shout-out to my nephew, Salim Sesma, the defensive back for the Coolidge Bears, who has committed to the Ripon Redhawks. Congratulations, Salim. Congratulations, Andre, and all the student-athletes aforementioned. It's really good when you get to see these kids take that next step and take not only, you know, further their education and continue to play the sport that they love, but they're taking that next step into adulthood and they're doing it fulfilling their dreams. A lot of these kids have been playing since they were little, and now they are essentially getting to go to school to play the game that they love.
Oh, without a doubt. And, you know, if there's anybody that, you know, we forgot to mention, please send us in your commits. We definitely want to bring some recognition to you guys. You know, Salim, I think, is moving the furthest out of that group of commitments, as I believe.
He's heading out to Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was thinking he was going. And, you know, I think we got a former Coolidge Bear out there right now, and Cody Barber, who's back at playing indoor football, and he's a kicker for the Cedar Rapids, if I'm not mistaken. So I know these commits are going to do their thing.
And that's just for football. We haven't even touched about the other athletes who have committed elsewhere.
No, definitely. But let's kind of move on into what's coming up with football this summer. You know, one of the things we're starting to see is the schedules are coming out. We're trying to dictate what games we could possibly line up for the upcoming season. But just keep in mind, if the games kind of look a little similar as they did last year, that's because they kind of are.
A little by design.
Yeah, and so the AIA kind of created a format where most of the games that they've had, it's going to be a two-year block. So this past year was block one. This upcoming year was block two. And pretty much what you're going to see is the schedule kind of flip. So if you played a certain team at home last year, you're going to kind of see them play away into next year. You know, with a couple of teams obviously having a couple of games changed to their schedule. But overall, what you seen last year is what you're going to get this year. And for us, that comes with how are we going to broadcast these games.
Yeah, it's a really difficult decision because last year we thought it would be exciting to get these schedules done ahead of time and kind of like lead them on to figure out how we, you know, laid out our schedule. But this year it's going to be different. We want to go about it in a way where we're picking the most competitive and exciting game, where not only where we can have fun, but the viewers can also enjoy the game. Because one thing that we've noticed is that not everybody can make it out to the game, but everybody who is able to find our stream definitely enjoys it. And they ask many times over if there's any other games of that school that we will be broadcasting. And sometimes the answer is no. I feel last year the only school we were able to see multiple times was ALA Ironwood. And shout out to ALA Ironwood and, of course, Mrs. Malt, the football mom out there at ALA.
Booster president.
We went back because they had so many good amenities there to help us broadcast that game. And knowing that we did face struggles with the internet, we are taking the steps to correct those issues. We are going to get a router so that way it would be able to have the bandwidth to withhold the stream in those tough areas where signal isn't abundant. But we're going to try to make it the best game possible. And I feel like right now, trying to look at these schedules, and as you said, they're a little bit flipped, we have a good idea of what games we want to go to, but it's still really tough, and it's still in those early stages of let's not set things in stone, and we're going to kind of play it as it goes.
No, yeah, you definitely hit it on the head there. And I think for people to understand kind of what we went through last year, there's some schools that have internet in their press boxes, which you can plug in the Ethernet cable. And if you are a gamer or somebody who knows a little bit about computer technology, you know if the Ethernet cable is available, you run with that one. Because portable Wi-Fi, it only gives you so much download speed when it comes to broadcasting an event. So we're definitely going to take those into consideration, not only with what schools we'll be going to. It may be a possibility where we hit up a lot of the same schools multiple times just because we can be able to broadcast there without any issues. We kind of saw that last year, but we are still going to try our best to reach as many schools as possible, including possibly coming out more towards my way into the Tucson market. which kind of brings me up to what's going to kind of happen over the summer. So normally we have our 14 teams here in Pinal County. We're not shying away from those 14 teams, but we're also going to kind of adopt those regions where our 14 teams play. So you're going to see us adopt all the teams in the region, kind of give them a little bit of shine. I know there's teams that will definitely go unnoticed if we don't talk about them, you know, and unless Chris Kidney down here in Tucson's talking about them, they're not going to get much love. So we thought overall, why not take on the whole region and be able to see how these 14 teams are competing against the entire region, allowing these teams to get a little bit of shine with our Pinal County teams. And we'll see how that plays out on some possible matchups, because I know there's a team out here like Ironwood Ridge who has a game against Maricopa, which would be a very good competitive game. That's something we're going to kind of talk into with the athletic directors. But overall, just kind of bear with us over the summer as we kind of try to digest the whole schedule and what to make of it. But as well as that, we're also going to be trying to attend some of the football camps. I know I won't be able to make it. I know you said you were going to try to possibly attend, but that's the Game Time Recruiting and Consulting combine camp that Rodney Cox is having, I believe, out in the Phoenix area.
McClintock High School.
And then you have the big ones, which is ASU and NAU. They're going to have some big camps going on in June, as well as U of A does a camp out here in the Tucson area. But we're going to try to do a lot of research coming into football, because overall, coming into next year and beyond, our main focus is going to be in the fall and in the spring. I know that people and players in spring sports, in baseball and softball, would love for us to broadcast games like we do on Friday nights for football. But right now, that is the toughest situation we're faced with. And it's not due to the school. It's just due to the facilities. You know, games start at 4 o'clock. Me and you, we still have our day jobs. And it's just a tough ask for us to go out there and broadcast a game. But that's still a possibility. We're not scratching it entirely. It's just you're going to notice a difference coming into this year, how we cover football compared to how we're able to cover baseball and softball.
Yeah, and we've been adding so many different facets to the way we cover sports throughout the entire year. So I think when we start football again, the addition of all these teams are going to be a good idea. You spoke of the man who gave us the inspiration to add these teams by the region, and that's Chris Kidney, because that's how he did it prior to last year when he was able to come along with us on the Grand Canyon Gridiron Road Tour. So this year is going to be a lot bigger. You're going to hear some names that you're a little bit unfamiliar with, but that's okay, because it's all in the matter of helping give these teams a little bit of a competitive edge, because they'll know what to look for in these coming games with the people within the region.
Yes, and I think one of the biggest things we're trying to add is sponsorships. You know, we're looking to broadcast commercials, run ads, you know, with our scenes through our broadcast. So if you are a business owner, or if you know of a business that would be interested in sponsoring the Varsity Breakdown and being able to get their business out, not only on the broadcast, but on our graphics, on our podcast, please give them our information. We would definitely love to sit down and talk with them and be able to not only bring awareness around Pinal County and the teams recovering, but also the regions and also the businesses, because there's some great businesses not only in Pinal County but in Tucson as well, where I live, that I think people don't really get to hear about on a regular basis.
Yeah, there's a lot of charitable people and organizations out there that are very influential in helping these kids participate in all of these sporting events. And I think by helping us helping them, it will make for a very good partnership.
And while we're looking for partnerships, we do have a big announcement. I don't know if we'll make it right here tonight, but just know that the Varsity Breakdown crew is going to be getting bigger come football season this summer, as we're adding two new analysts to our team. We'll mention them over the course of the next podcast, maybe even span it out to the next two podcasts, and hopefully we'll be able to have them on to kind of introduce themselves. And just know they are two former players from the Pinal County areas. I won't say what schools they're from, but just know they're going to be two great additions who love sports and want to be able and want to bring awareness to what we do here at the Varsity Breakdown, as well as talk about their college experience as well. So stay tuned for that. But other than that, I think one of the biggest topics we have going on right now, you mentioned Fatty Gant transferring to Vista Grande. We'll definitely have to get in touch with him to see how that transition has been. But other than that, we have the Leticia Cavazos Memorial Scholarship that is now open and taking applications. So if you are a senior this year and you are looking to apply for a scholarship, remember we pick two recipients from the Pinal County areas. You don't have to play a sport that we covered. You just have to play a sport. Let us know if you're enrolled into college already, where you're going to be heading, and just a 500-word essay. I don't think that's too much to ask of when it comes to what these kids are required to, the length of what they're required to write nowadays. But make sure you put in your applications, because last year I think we only had a handful of applicants. And so I think this year our goal is to try to get more applicants and pick the best possible student athletes. As you've seen, we had our two recipients last year, Raylan Tarango out of Santa Cruz Valley.
And Cedric Viola of the Coolidge Bears.
So make sure you get those applications in. I believe we're going till May 24th, and then we're going to go into reading those applications and picking our winners. But also today we just dropped orders for our scholarship t-shirts, which is a design made by Legit Prints. You know, Coach Reyes out there at Santa Cruz Valley, who is gonna be able to make some great quality t-shirts for you guys. And I think one of my favorite parts about that shirt is I was able to find a signature of my mom. So if you see the Leticia Cavazos part, that is her actual signature that's going to be on the shirt this year. So I'm pretty happy with having that and being able to continue to recognize her, because like I said, if she was alive here today, she would be all in about what the Varsity Breakdown is doing, and definitely would be one of the parents that's going to be out there. Would definitely be one of the parents out there that's helping spread the word of all these great athletes in Pinal County. But I think we can kind of leave the episode there, and I'm going to leave the last section kind of for some shout-outs. Is there anybody that you kind of want to acknowledge when it comes to not only fall, winter, or spring sports? Is there anybody there?
Fall, winter, and spring sports, there's a lot. That's a lot to cover, but just thinking right off top, one of the shout-outs, I mentioned him earlier in the show. I gave him a happy birthday. But Coach Aaron, he got his 50th win as a head coach with the Coolidge Lady Bears. I was able to attend that game. It was very emotional because he was actually wearing the pin that he received, well, we received when we attended Tyrone's funeral. And I didn't have it with me, but I had told him, I was like, my lanyard is the same, the last whistle that he gave me. So I take it with me all the time. So. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm happy for him. I know that he's going to continue to have more success as the seasons progress, because his teams are only getting better.
And I think with them, they made the playoffs for a consecutive season, which is, I can't really think back as to the last time Coolidge basketball in the girls division has made multiple playoffs, especially in back-to-back years. So definitely a huge accomplishment for Coach Aaron. But sticking with basketball, how about ALA Ironwood making it to the semifinals in boys basketball, where they unfortunately fell to Valley Christian, one of the top teams not only in 3A but possibly in the state of Arizona as a whole. And they were leading at halftime. They were doing good, just unfortunately wasn't able to close that game out, and eventually lost to them. But definitely a huge accomplishment for ALA Ironwood, especially for some of the big names that they lost last year.
Yeah, definitely good for ALA Ironwood. And also, still on the subject of basketball, want to give another huge shout out to the Combs Coyotes. They made it to the playoffs this year, and this season was tough. It was bigger than basketball. We've not touched on the subject, and it's for good reason. But yeah, I mean, congratulations to the Coyotes. They were able to persevere, make it to the playoffs. It didn't quite go their way, but you know, we give them all the respect that they deserve, because I remember in the beginning, I think it was during the Coolidge tournament, they had actually beat Coolidge in that tournament, and that had completely opened our eyes to what the Combs Coyotes were doing.
No, without a doubt. And we can kind of stay in winter sports. How about out of the Florence Gophers, Zay Cundiff winning a 3A state championship wrestling title? You know, that definitely was a surprise, especially with how tough the 3A division is when it comes to wrestling. So congratulations to Mr. Cundiff for pulling in a state championship. But there's also a 2A athlete that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, this 2A athlete is now committed to ASU for wrestling, and I am talking about the Santa Cruz Dust Devils running back and wrestler extraordinaire, Mr. Aiden Isagiri. He was able to take his visits to multiple schools. He had interest from schools as far as North Carolina, and he's decided to keep his talents here in Arizona and wrestle for the Sun Devils. So congratulations to Aiden and the entire Isagiri family. I know that his pops is definitely excited. I'm looking forward to seeing him this next football season and seeing what they are able to do when he makes it to that next level, because you and I and everybody else know that these Eloy boys, when they put on that singlet, they don't play.
Oh, no. And if you want to know just how well Aiden did this year, I can't remember the wrestler's name out of Sunnyside, but I know he went down to the Flowing Wells wrestling tournament and was able to knock off the number one wrestler coming out of Sunnyside. And if I'm correct, that wrestler out of Sunnyside had not lost a match in his entire high school career. So a big accomplishment for Aiden.
Yeah, and then let's talk about the other three Santa Cruz wrestlers who were able to make state. Giovanni Chavez, he ended up winning at 120. Xavier Chavez ended up defeating Holbrook's Titan Larson at 144. And Israel Ibarra defeated Chino Valley's Caden Call at 190. That's a lot of tough boys coming out of the Eloy area, so if you see some of these guys with cauliflower ears, they look a little young, don't press them.
Yeah, no, most definitely. And kind of to wrap things out, we also already have a commitment coming out of Santa Cruz Valley, as well as Jocelyn Melendez committed to Salem Community College, where she'll be playing softball. So a big congratulations to her. And I know when it comes to spring sports, that number is gradually going to increase as that talent, when it comes to baseball and softball, there's so much coming out of Pinal County this year.
Yeah, and congratulations to Jocelyn. I know that the Mighty Oaks have definitely got themselves a real one.
But before we kind of end things, I know one of the big things we're trying to do coming into next year is we've acknowledged, you know, my mom's passing, you know, honoring her with a scholarship. But also we wanted to do something for your son, Emiliano, where he has a spina bifida disability. And we wanted to be able to bring some recognition and awareness to spina bifida. So I know coming into football season next year, we're going to try to raise money and allow you and Danny to be able to donate those proceeds, whether it's to a scholarship of his own or if we're going to donate it to Phoenix Children's Hospital, where he spent a lot of his time these last few months. But, you know, do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I was very honored when you had brought this idea up, and I think it would do wonders for kids just like Emiliano. He's not able to walk, but that's not like the end all be all. Like, he has the ability to walk now. That was actually one of the surgeries that he was under, was to help him with his ability to walk. And I think with us doing this and with the reach that we are able to get, that we will be able to bring awareness to spina bifida and many other disabilities. Because what I want to do is, I know that, you know, in this generation, we kind of normalize things, and by normalizing, we kind of just like look the other way. I kind of want to, you know, tackle this thing head on and show people that it is okay, that it's going to be a struggle. But at the same time, there's many other people out there like you that are going through similar things, and you can definitely get over it and find the brighter side of things, because there are many other things, like when Yano gets older, that he'll be able to participate in. Like, there's the Miracle League, mm-hmm. which is a baseball league for people with disabilities, and they're able to pitch, field, and do everything necessary to compete in the game and get that same feel as they would if they were on the diamond with the rest of these kids. So things like that are stuff that I'm very passionate about, and I'm excited to bring that to the forefront of what we're doing. But there's so many different things that we're looking forward to doing. Like, we want to expand our horizons. We've talked about maybe going on and doing a different podcast, you doing one of your own, me doing one of my own. The Varsity Breakdown isn't going anywhere. That's not a question. This is here to stay. But there's so many things that you're well-versed in. There's so many things that I want to talk about and want to get to know. And there's so many different people that we know. And I feel mm-hmm. like, if we are able to share those conversations with people, they're able to get to know you on a personal level, know me on a personal level, that it'll only help build the Varsity Breakdown brand. And you mentioned it earlier, we're going to have two more people come onto our team. And with that addition, I'm looking for a little bit more hunger out of everybody else looking to join.
Oh, no, without a doubt there. And, you know, I'll be actually teaming up with Rodney Cox and Chris Kidney to kind of veer away from the actual sports themselves, but bring on a little bit of knowledge where we're talking about what it takes to make it to the next level. Does your student athlete fit that box? And if they don't, we always preach GPA. That's the one of the biggest things. That's how you get paid academically. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so we're going to talk about those type of issues, and also what is the perfect fit for your student athlete to go play at the next level. Because, you know, when you're thinking about just random schools off the top of your head, think about some place like Ottawa University that just signed 43 student athletes to their team out of Arizona alone. You know, would you want your kid to have to sit that far down on the depth chart? Or maybe they go somewhere a little bit east or a little bit north or west and be able to play right away. So a lot of things to there's a lot of things to think about, and we wanted to bring awareness on that. So kind of stick around. So kind of look out for that podcast going forward. I think you know, overall, we have such a big year coming up for 2024 for the 2024-2025 season. And we're hoping, like you said, just to get bigger, and eventually maybe we can possibly have two broadcast teams where we're out to, where we're able to touch multiple schools every week. And that's ultimately what we want to do, is continue to bring the awareness not only to our area, but to other areas that don't get that shine as well.
Put the entire state onto it.
Well, brother, I think we kind of went over our time a little bit there, but either way it goes, you know, we're definitely glad to be back here with the Varsity Breakdown, being able to get on the headsets and kind of talk about what's going on, not only for the spring season, but what's to come for the Varsity Breakdown. But we'll leave things right there. We'll see you guys next week, as we're going to kind of dive into the last few weeks of the baseball and softball season, and hopefully see some of these teams in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the playoffs. I'm ready for what's to come in the next few months, days, and hours after this, because Lord knows we're going to be editing this podcast and getting ready to upload it. But before we go, got to give a couple more shout outs. One to Ryland Jordheim, the former Florence Gopher, who is now taking his talents to do a similar thing like we're doing, but he's doing it on a whole different level. Like, you look at these kids like Zach, Raph, it's something in that Florence water that's got these kids mad creative and really good with the camera in their hands. So shout out to Ryland. And my last shout out's going to go to Miss Abigail Durango, Raylan's mom, who actually sent me the schedule for her upcoming season. And I know that we're trying to coordinate so that way we can go to a game where she plays Phoenix College. So we, that way we can see a couple of former Santa Cruz Dust Devils clash. But other than that, brother, I like I said earlier, it feels good to be back. I know I already dapped you up earlier, but bro, it feels good to be back in the studio. I can't wait to go out to my next game, see these wonderful student athletes that we cover, you know, shake hands with the parents, and then just go back home, talk to you about it, and then get ready to do it all over again.
Yeah, the Varsity Breakdown is back, and we're ready to take things one step further. But we want to thank you all for joining us on this episode, and we look forward to seeing what next week brings. But other than that, you know how to close out the show, bro.
Take it easy.